Welcome to the first of what we hope will be many podcasts from the Wildlife Trust of South and West Wales. Today we're actually going out to Skokum Island with the many funders who've helped us rebuild the cottages and the main central block on the island. We'll be going out to look at the lighthouse that we've purchased as well, and most importantly the land around the lighthouse, which includes some of the densest shearwater colonies we think on the planet. So it's going to be a very exciting day for everybody involved. And today it's actually a glorious day after what has been a truly wretched summer. We have calm blue seas and blue skies for what promises to be a beautiful day out. I'm Lindsay Maiden, I work for the Trust as a Communications Officer, and I'm with Megan Nolan, who is volunteering with me on the communications project over the next few weeks. Renata Tome is a long-term volunteer on the island and has been involved with the Friends for a very long time as well, and she has been greatly involved in the fundraising and activities that have gone on to renovate the cottages. She's going to give us a brief tour of the buildings and take us around and show us the work that's been done by the volunteers.
This creature here is guarding the cottage. Lockley's ashes are also on the island, and that's when this plaque was put up for him. Tish, come in. This is the common room, where usually when you visit the island, you might come and sit and read in the evening. There's a little log fire which keeps people warm, and many, many stories are told here, tall ones and even taller ones. The cottage has four bedrooms, and they've all got names like Gunners and Smoke and such like, all taken from the Alice Williams and stuck on the doors. And they were sponsored. The tops of them were sponsored and the sinks were given to us, so we've had an awful lot of very, very goodwill from people around and stuff given to us. This is what we call the middle block, and those are all the rooms that people use when they come as visitors. Some are twin beds, and we have one double in the back. This is called the wheelhouse. And this is where the kitchen and the dining room is, and we'll go inside in a second. The bell is there for calling people to a meal, or where if there's an unusual bird on the island, the bell is rung and people arrive from all corners of the island to come and have a look at it, possibly, if it hasn't left. We have a shop on the island, so if people get stuck and the boat can't arrive, which this season seems to have happened frequently, there is a basic set of food there that people can survive on. So come in. This place has not changed a great deal since Lockley was here. I was looking at some photographs of the 1950s, 60s, or even in the 1930s, and it looks very, very similar. What has changed is the lighting. When I first came about 25 years ago, we had tilly lamps, which were lovely, but an absolute hell to light and maintain, and also terrifying when people go to bed with them and you think, oh my God. Then we had gas lights, and these are the remnants of those. But this last renovation project, we have actually put in the solar panels, and we have electric lighting entirely run on solar panels. So that the lights went on about a year and a half ago. That is Alice in true beauty. She was the front of the ship. And here that piece of wood is also from the Alice Williams, the black timber there. So this is where the sort of eating and the important things happen in terms of bottles of wine and so forth. And that's over there, that's a picture of the Alice William. But that's before.
I'm here with Dean Maiden, who is visiting Skokum for the first time, I believe, aren't you, Dean?
Yeah, like I said, I've been up to Skokum, but never had the opportunity to come over here before.
Right, and what's been your involvement with the islands over the years?
Basically, just as a sort of tourist. My other interest in that, I work out in Valera, as was Chevron. And for the last 11 years, I think, I've been involved in the Pembrokeshire Bird Conference, which the refinery hosts. So for me, it's been a tremendous opportunity to be involved with them from that perspective, because I'm interested in wildlife and birds. And to be able to sit there and listen to all of the talks, the presentations, all those knowledgeable people, it sort of fires you up with the enthusiasm that people have in this sort of part of the world. Because not originally being from Pembrokeshire, but having been only for 26 years working, I've now come to sort of love the area because it just is so beautiful. So I say, as far as the islands go, I've been around Grassholme. I love the gannets out there. I've been on Scoma a few times, but the first time a chance to come out here.
And what are your impressions of it so far?
Well, at the moment, it's one of the nicest days we've had this year. So the impression is it's a lovely place on a lovely day like this.
Haven, isn't it? Yes.
Well, I can understand why, you know, someone's called it a dream island, because you can imagine living here in weather like this. It's tremendous. Mm. Obviously, the weather isn't like this all the time.
No.
But I think we've had a very, very fortunate sort of turn in the weather for us to come out today, because it does look lovely. I think I was going to say that the one thing I do like about this one, perhaps more than Scoma from the little I've seen so far, is this kind of sort of geology of the, you know, the cliffs of the edge of the island. It does look really lovely. I can imagine if I could get rid of the children, this would be a lovely place to spend a weekend for a few nights.
Definitely.
I would imagine, again, the nightlife out here must be tremendously noisy with all of the birds.
Well, we're over the lighthouse, which is where we're heading shortly. You've got the densest population among shearwaters, I think, in the world. And you've also got the storm petrels. So you've got both of those birds coming in at night. And it is... I've not stayed overnight myself either, Dean, I have to say, but it is spectacular, apparently. I've stayed on Scoma, and that's impressive enough, but I think the lighthouse is meant to be truly stunning.
And I was just talking to the gentleman up there, and he said now that they've managed to get hold of that land, which was the land they were interested in, not the lighthouse, you know, they can do so many things with that now. And again, it was the shearwater population that was the important aspect.
Yes. Yes, that was the real worry for us. If anybody else got hold of that bit of land, what damage could be done by accident or, you know, sort of by, you know, just neglect or maltreatment. So it was really key for us to actually get a hold of that.
No, it's nice to have this kind of thing available for people, because, you know, sometimes you don't appreciate the beauty that's out there.
Yes.
So I think to have the opportunity to come and see things like this is tremendous. I think Pembrokeshire really is lucky for what we have down here.
People would travel halfway across the world to see what you see out on these islands and around these islands, certainly, sort of out at sea. And certainly cetaceans that you get out there, and dolphins and porpoise and all these things people travel halfway across the world to see.
Yes.
And they're in our oceans, just on our doorstep.
Right, so we're on the top of the bluffs here, and this is a place where you can pretty much see water all the way around the island, apart from just the jutty out bits. The peregrine's nest down there, there's usually one standing there, but it's not there today. It's just a really nice place to have a view and get some photos. This is the main area for storm petrel surveys. So the path down in front of you is the research path, and there's four transects. We go down, play sounds into the burrows, and then listen for a response, and then mark it down whether they're calling or singing. And that's sort of the main way we count them, sort of get a rough idea of numbers, but they're really hard to count. So we think there's about 1,000 on the island, but numbers for the UK can vary between 10,000 and 100,000, so they're just really hard to count and quantify. Cool.
So I'm with Leighton Cooper, who volunteers with the Wildlife Trust of South and West Wales out on Skokum Island. Now, Leighton, do you want to tell me a little bit about why you decided to come and volunteer out here?
Well, it's just sort of a special place, really. It's just, I've heard things about it and seems really nice, and so I thought I'd come and give it a go. Mm-hmm. Looking something to do over the summer while I was away from uni.
Yeah, and you mean your degree is to do with marine biology anyway, isn't it?
So yeah. So I do marine biology in uni, so it's we do quite a lot of seabirds, and I'm more interested in the sort of conservation side of things.
So this is giving you a real practical hands-on idea of what it's like to manage an island in its own right.
Yeah, definitely.
So, really nice. I mean, had you ever been out to the islands before?
No, this is my first time out, so I didn't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's It's quite something. It's not what I expected at all.
I was going to say, has it exceeded your expectations?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's much more different than I thought.
Yeah, it's a spectacular place to be, isn't it?
Oh,
how are
yeah.
you finding kind of being on this sort of remote place where you suddenly just get an influx of people every so often and then they disappear?
It's quite odd, really, because it's sort of the groups change from size. So we've had like a group of five or something, and then you'll have a group of 11, say, yesterday, and then we've got people over 30 odd people over today, and it's really strange, but they're all really nice and you sort of just get on with it, and it's good.
So the volunteering experience has really given you that practical element.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, we were talking earlier about spotting the difference between different species and how you're kind of, after 2 weeks, you're already able to kind of look at the legs of a lesser blackback or a greater blackback be able to tell. So that is a really good experience in itself.
Yeah, it's really good because you're just sort of immersed into it and you just you don't even think about it in the end, you just do it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm coming into the lighthouse now, which the Wildlife Trust has recently bought and had the keys handed over. As Leighton has said, this is one of the area around the lighthouse is one of the richest in seabird colonies as far as the Manx Shearwater is concerned. We're actually looking at the lighthouse to renovate it, probably to rent out as holiday accommodation in the future. And it's a fantastic spot because it's sat on the edge of the island, obviously, as a lighthouse, and it's looking out to sea in one direction. And then as we travel up to the top of the lighthouse, you get a fantastic view across the whole of the island. So the bedrooms, you'll either have a sea view or you'll have an island and sea view. So not a bad choice, really. So I'm here with Alan Lewis, who runs his own boat around this area. And Alan, you've been helping with the Wildlife Trust and Steve Sutcliffe in removing some of our heavier kit off the island, haven't you?
Yes, I've known Steve for the last probably 30 years. So he said, oh, nice little job for you. I said, I don't like the sound of that.
No, you never do with Steve, do you?
No, and there was a catch somewhere. And the catch was you got three generators here, weigh close on 2 tonne apiece, to get them out of the room, get them back to the landing stage and get them ashore.
So what are you going to do with them once they're ashore?
We've had to dismantle everything to get them down to the landing stage, to get them on a boat. So I'm going to get them back home and try to recondition them and just hopefully they might still work.
Okay. So, I mean, we're actually stood in the old engine room, the heart room of the lighthouse, aren't we, I suppose?
Yeah.
So this, you've taken out quite a lot already, and what we're left with, I suppose, are they the beds?
Yeah, the engine beds, the bases are still here.
Yeah.
So we've got three big bases to go. They probably weigh a third of a ton each. And we've got all the steelwork then that the engines were standing on.
Okay, so quite a big job then, really. And another, volunteering, I suppose you may benefit from the generators at the end. That's not really a potential.
It'd be a nice job if you had some of the penny machinery. You could get at it, but out here, it's so remote, you've got no machinery, so it's all, I say by hand, but it's bloody hard work.
Yes. Brilliant. Thank you so much, Alan.
You're welcome to have a look round. There's two lots of staircases. When you get to the top, if you're going to go in the lantern, don't take your bags up and things, because the steps are very, very steep and you just got to be sensible, basically. And you don't touch the bulb, because it's a LED and it's very, very expensive. That column there, that steel column, goes right up to the very top. Don't quite know what its function was, but the lighter would originally have been on a mercury float. So it was a mercury bath, and it spun round. You could just touch it like that, and it would just move on the mercury. But all that disappeared with the health and safety and all that sort of thing.
One of the delights of both the islands is the proximity that you can get to the birds and the puffins in particular. Puffins seem almost to appreciate the human company, less intimidated by the presence of the greater blackback gulls, which are their main predator that will steal their food and their chicks. The island is currently blooming with violets as well, so it's looking particularly gorgeous. And we're stood just in a sheltered little enclave with the puffins surrounding us, busily going about their business, and whilst we have our lunch and sit amongst the violets. The two islands of Skomer and Skokum were once wooded, we believe, and certainly Skokum means wooded island in the Norse. And you get some of the idea that it must have been wooded at some stage by the very nature of the flora that you get on the islands. Both of them are rich in things like wood sage and ground ivy and bluebells, campion, things that you traditionally see more in a woodland environment. And the reason that they can be sustained here is because the bracken grows up in the summer months, giving the shade to the plants that they require, but allowing them to flower beautifully early on in the spring. And the islands, both of the islands in spring, are truly spectacular because you get the blue shimmering haze as it crosses the whole of the islands, followed by the pink haze of the campion as that comes into flower later on in the season. Right, so Nigel, whereabouts are you actually from?
I was born in Carmarthen, so
right.
I'm a Carmarthen boy.
So you're localish, but
yes, indeed, yes, yeah, very much so.
But your company is
my company is Towie Works Limited in Carmarthen,
and
we're a builders merchant.
Yes,
and we were press gang by Steve, like most people are, and we were able to help and contribute some things towards the. Development of the buildings,
So you contributed to some of the stuff that's
yes,
gone
we have.
Into the actual buildings.
I mean, specifically, we were involved in the washing facilities here, which, of course, are very important.
Much needed.
Much needed. So every time somebody uses their wash basin and their taps, they can think of us and think of
me.
It's wonderful. Yes, indeed. So we were very pleased to be able to do that, yeah.
And is this the first time you've actually been over to the island? Or
other than on a delivery trip with John Reynolds.
Which doesn't count.
Which doesn't count.
Get to
no,
move from there,
no,
do you?
It is, yes. So it's been a great day over here, yes.
Yeah. So you got to see some of the
yes,
you've
absolutely.
Never seen before.
Yeah, yeah,
brilliant.
All of it, and it's been wonderful, yes,
and
thoroughly enjoyed it.
Looked around the lighthouse?
Yes, I had a look around the lighthouse. It was quite busy when I was there, so I decided to sort of seek the sun instead, actually,
mm-hmm.
but it was very nice in there, yes, yeah, yeah,
so
enjoyed it.
Got a real sense of,
oh, yeah.
of what your contribution has been used
yes,
for.
Yes, I think so. I think until you actually come and witness what works have been done in a place like that, it's very difficult when you're in your office to visualise how it all sort of comes together, but when you actually do come and see something, and it's very gratifying that you've been able to help.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so good. Yes,
glad
good.
To hear it, Nigel. I
Not
hope you'll be back on
Pleasure.
Holiday.
Well, so do I. Yes, it would be very nice. Thank you. All right.
I'm with Lizzie Wilberforce here, who's actually the conservation manager for the west of our patch, and is responsible for the islands, aren't you, Lizzie?
I am.
So
yes.
What's your experience of the islands? You've obviously had a long history.
I do. Yes, and starting as a volunteer, so. It's quite nice, but strangely sort of circular in the way I've come back to be responsible for them professionally, which is an advantage and a disadvantage, I think, because it gives you the long background, but it also, I guess, gives you a very personal view, which can be helpful or not, depending on the circumstances.
Yeah, so you volunteered on SCOMA, is that right?
Yes, I know SCOMA a lot better than Skokum, so it's been one of the really nice things about being professionally responsible for the island, is getting the opportunity to come and see the sister island, well, for the first time, really, since it becoming part of my job. So.
Right. So which is your favourite island? I know that's a bit of a cruel question, as they're both beautiful, but...
They are both beautiful. I think... Maybe people wouldn't use the word favourite, but I think most people's hearts are tied more closely to one than the other. I think everybody who comes to the islands appreciates both.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been coming to SCOMA for so long, and since I was a kid, it's difficult not to feel more affinity to that one. But the more I get to come to SCOMA, the more to Skokum, then the more I get to appreciate the little things that make this one different.
Mm.
They've got quite different characters.
They're very different, aren't they?
Yeah.
Skokum's obviously, well, it's different geologically, and you look at SCOMA and the two compared, you get the red of the Skokum and the grey of
SCOMA
right. rock, but
yes,
so
and some,
much more, isn't
some
there?
Differences in the vegetation, partly down to the geology, obviously, but just gives it slightly different feel. And the way that Skokum's, it's only that little bit more isolated, but it just gives quite a different feel to the community here of being that bit further away, and less Skokum's more cosmopolitan in the turnover of people. So it's you feel that bit more remote out here.
Yes, yeah, so you don't get the day visitor so much on this island, do you? So in fact,
no.
Not at all this year, I don't
think. No, that's right, yeah. So and the people that are here, I think they form more of a bond over the short time that they're staying here, because there's fewer of them. Yeah, so it's quite different, and you know they are just different, but each with their own strengths.
Yeah. Have you got to stay on Skokum yet?
Do you know, I haven't stayed overnight here.
No,
so there's a couple of things to tick off the list yet. The number of nights I've stayed on SCOMA, that's definitely a balance I need to address. So yeah,
I think you should be staying soon.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody for being here today. It is really, really lovely to have some of our helpers, some of our sponsors with us, and to enjoy the island. Unlike the sort of trips that Steve organises, where he says, "You want a trip to the island?" And they say yes, and then they end up shifting 3 tons of cement at the end of it, and they don't even get to step off onto the island. So I hope you've enjoyed a lovely day and a walk around and some of the sights of the island, and I hope you will come back.
Yeah, it's really nice to see people onto the island who probably haven't been before. There's a few people here who've let their spouses come and labour on the island, and certainly a hell of a lot of the work that's been done wouldn't have happened without various sponsors. The initial idea for refurbishing all these buildings was costed out at 1.2 million, and the whole project, including the supply of the water supply system this autumn, is probably going to come out at something less than 100,000. And that's because of all of the input by about 80 volunteers, not just people who've been working on the island, but there's about 30 volunteers from locally who've been helping with the deliveries. Some of them have never been onto Skokum, but they still come along and labour on the boat, you know, just taking things off. It has been a tremendous achievement. You can see what the end result is. It actually, the cottage is amazing because it looks exactly like it did before we did any work. And I think that's an achievement, really, because the cottage is a Grade 2 listed building. It's about 1760 it was built, and in a year ago there was nothing of that building left apart from the four outside walls. Everything else has been rebuilt completely. All the roofs are new. All of the interior wall systems and the bedrooms, all the fittings, everything is new. And a lot of that's been donated by various companies. I was just saying to somebody else, even the concrete for the jetty, that came at something like £3 a bag, and when we paid for it, the company that supplied us gave us half the money back. So, you know, that sort of incredible involvement by some very big companies, actually, has made things just easy and seamless.
Leaving Skokum Island is never easy. It's a lovely place, it's always wonderful to visit. And it's been great to meet some of the people who've been so involved in actually making this project happen. So thank you to everybody, and we look forward to coming back soon.